So we're here today taking the pulse of Joe Studding. Joe is the North Scott Superintendent. And Joe, thank you for being here today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah. First of all, let's get to know Joe a little bit better. Joe, what was your path like to get here in this seat right now at North Scott Schools?
Okay. Well, I'm originally from Comanche, Iowa.
Okay.
So graduated from Comanche, went to Central College, wrestled there, graduated with a teaching degree, and so I spent some time teaching in Northwest Iowa. Then I was an administrator in near Ottumwa, Iowa, then Columbus Junction. Then I ended up following a superintendent up to Wisconsin, spent some time up in Wisconsin as a principal, and then became a superintendent in Door County, Sturgeon Bay, Wisconsin.
Okay.
And then when the North Scott position opened up, because it's home, we've always considered this part home, this part of Iowa home, I took the opportunity, applied, and next thing you know, I have a job.
When you were in Wisconsin, what were you? You were a principal of secondary, or
I was started out middle school principal, and then I moved to the high school. Spent 4 years of high school. I oversaw the building of a brand new high school, and while I was doing that, I got a specialist degree from Superior, UW-Superior, and then ended up wanted to come back south, get closer to Iowa at that point, and I had a company talk me into putting my name in the hat for the Sturgeon Bay job up in Door County's beautiful. It's a tourist destination. And didn't really want to apply for the job, and then I got a job there. So spent 8 years there. Had a great school district. Was a city alderman there. Was really entrenched in the community.
That's cool.
North Scott opened up, and I have a brother. With six kids in the North Scott School District, and you know, as I read through the pamphlets and saw what they were looking for, just a boy, you know, this could be a match. And I think it was like 12 days. Put my name in. 12 days later, I had a job.
So, that's fast.
A lot of disappointed people in Sturgeon Bay, Sturgeon Bay, Wisconsin, and because you know we just really weren't looking at leaving. And, and at that point, we knew after I had a daughter who was going to be a senior this last year, just graduated last year, and so the timing was not the best personal timing, but. You know, things happen.
That's what I was going to ask you. What was that conversation like? I mean, there had to be a little bit of convincing. You guys were there 8 years. That's the majority of your daughter's career, education career. I mean, all of her high school, which she knew, you know.
You know, I asked her, you know, what did you think about applying for it? And, you know, her response was, reluctantly, you know, later in this last year, you know, I learned this because she wrote a paper. She wrote a paper for English class that was just heartbreaking for me because, you know, she gave me the answer I wanted to hear, not the answer she really wanted to give.
Right.
And so, but she's a stronger person for it.
Sure.
So, but it was a tough decision.
Well, she's closer to her aunt and uncle, right?
Yeah,
and her cousins.
Yes, and cousins and grandmas and
and
great grandma, and she's going to go to University of Northern Iowa.
Awesome.
So it worked out, but
cool.
But I'm not going to pretend it was a tough year.
No, I can imagine.
But she did come down here. She didn't stay up in.
She stayed in Sturgeon Bay.
She did stay.
Yeah,
so
my wife and
her senior year they stayed.
Yep, she stayed the entire year. In fact, we just moved out our house yesterday.
Holy cow.
I was unboxing last night till 9:30, 10 o'clock at night. So.
Wow.
So we're just finishing that transition, I would say we're finishing it. We got a ways to go yet, but we'll have everybody down. And I still have a daughter that's up there and a grandson in Door County, and they'll stay there and still own a house there, so I might have a summer home.
So wrestling. You got a big background in wrestling.
I do.
You guys have to be pretty pleased with how the wrestling program is going around
here. We got a great wrestling program. We got great athletics programs, and any extracurricular. North Scott's such a supportive community of all type of activities. But we had a great wrestling year. You know, I'd like to have seen them a little bit more than I did. I saw them a few times up until 2 years ago. I coached wrestling even as a superintendent.
Wow.
Yeah, I was a middle school coach for a few years as a superintendent.
Wow.
And I always volunteered, and then I became an elected alderman. And there's just only so much you can do.
Right.
You know, I always enjoyed going in and either working one-on-one with kids in the morning and doing those type of things. But, you know, I was a wrestler in college. I got the opportunity to wrestle in three national tournaments and
was
an All-American once. And then I was a head wrestling coach for 6 years, 6 years at Southern Cal, and lucky enough to take a team to dual state, had a state champion, multiple state place winners, number of state conference titles.
That's awesome.
And then, you know, enjoyed coaching as I was a principal. I coached my son all 4 years of his high school career as the assistant wrestling coach and head principal and stuff. So yeah, it was fun. It's been tough the last 2 years not being on a wrestling mat and helping out. And so, but that's just, you know.
Let's talk a little bit about the alderman. What's that like, and how did that lend? Did that lend any kind of experience to the superintendent's position?
Oh, it does. You know, I was superintendent first. One of my goals is, as a public official, especially in my position, is how do we break down our sandboxes? I always call them sandboxes.
Yeah.
Cities have them, counties have them, school districts, individual school districts. And I got frustrated as a superintendent of schools watching aldermen who were not, especially my own alderman, who'd been around for 20-some years as an alderman, we can't play together. We can't do things together. Nope, it's separate. And I finally got tired of it and ran against him and ended up beating him out of his position after, I think, he was the longest-serving alderman at the time.
Wow.
for Sturgeon Bay, or pretty close, 20-some years he had been an alderman.
Sure.
And part of it, and what drove it was, is we got to start breaking down these barriers.
Yeah.
You know, we owe it to the taxpayers. If there's a way to do it together
right. That
saves tax money, then we ought to look at it. If it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. But we owe it to at least have a conversation.
Right.
And so it worked out really well. You know, it gave me the experience of sitting on the side of the table of my board. You know, they're elected officials, and I worked with the city administrators, so it gives me that experience, gives me a different perspective. You know, I know what the challenge is to running campaigns and working with your constituents.
Mm-hmm.
The same as I also know what it means to be the person who's hired to be the administrator
right. And
stuff. And so it worked out really well. I enjoyed it. You know, again, I was really invested in the community. I had that opportunity and did it for a term and a half. So I was elected for 2 terms, but I had to give up my second half of my term to come here. But it was a great experience. You know, I enjoy the politics of my job. I enjoy the politics of the public sector, whether an elected position. You know, I try to stay active in within our own politics here, meeting with our own representatives, working with the state, sending things out to the governor and stuff. You know, try to get them to do their job so I can do my job.
So
it gives me a very interesting background and perspective.
So what do you think of the election process?
The election process?
The campaigning process.
Campaigning, you know, it is a process, and you have to understand it. I also up in Sturgeon Bay had to run 3 referendum elections when I was there to override the state has a revenue limit, and which generally doesn't, especially if you're declining enrollment. Very, very similar to Davenport. You know, we have a funding system set up to really punish you when you have declining enrollment, and so Davenport struggles, and we all know their philosophy right now is saying, well, you got a system that's really penalizing us.
Right.
And in their case, they're focused on the $173 or $178 difference.
Yeah, yep.
But in really, you know, at some point they'll be back in the same boat with declining enrollment. It's about declining enrollment that really shrinks the budget. And they had a process up there, kind of like our Pebble process or our 1 cent sales tax process. You take it to the voters. And so I know that experience of what do you do to run a successful campaign for a district.
Yeah.
And then, of course, when you run a successful campaign as an individual, you know, you really got to look at you got to take your time to understand who votes,
mm-hmm.
not who's registered,
right.
Not necessarily who lives here,
right.
Who votes,
yeah.
And then what is your strategy to get to those voters and to make sure they get out and vote, you know, and so whether that's door to door, whether that is telephone calls or radio ads. You know, what's your message, too? Don't go off message. Make it a simple message.
Right.
Stay to your message. What is it about, whether in any campaign? So I do have that experience, and I've done it, and we've had some success as we've run it. It's always a team effort, too. One person really doesn't run a campaign.
Right.
It's getting that right team together, and then how you take your plan and then implement your plan, timing, and all those things.
That's right.
Yeah, my mom is on the school board up in Clinton, and her re-election is in September. Her re-election election, and so. That was 4 years ago already when we did this the first time, but that was the conversation we had. Like, there's a certain limit on how much money you can spend, and there's a limit on not only like as part of the law, but on how much money you want to spend.
Yeah.
So if we're going to spend that money, who are we going to spend it on? Mm-hmm. You know, who's going to get the flyers? Who's going to get, you know, who are we going to go door to door with? What neighborhoods are we going to hit? Mm-hmm. But then also, like, when you say who votes, and that was the thing, like, who in this community actually votes? When only 1,200 votes are cast in a school board election, you know, that's less than 10% of the community by far. Yeah, that's probably less than 5%.
Right.
And so, you know, like, who actually votes in these elections? Union members. You know what I mean? Like, they vote. How are we going to get a hold of these people? You know what I mean? Things like that. Yeah. So it's that's a really interesting way to look at it. So now, not to get into a political talk, but were you a superintendent in Wisconsin when the stuff with Scott Walker went down?
Oh, yeah.
And then that resulted in a... Because that resulted in a recall election. Now, it wasn't a successful recall election.
Yeah.
But...
Yeah, you know, it's an interesting... it was an interesting time. Obviously, very... a lot of adversity going on, and so when I look at that process, you know, and I look at it for my job here in Iowa, and I do worry about having an unsustainable system, and I talk to our teachers about that and the unions about that. Is, you know, if you're getting 1.25% new money, but you have a system almost guarantees a 3-4% raise for every school, and whether you have declining enrollment or not, that's unsustainable. You know, and that's where Wisconsin got. Wisconsin, during the recession, his solution was, you know, we're $1 billion in the hole or whatever the number was, we can take $500 million of that from the school districts, and then we'll give the tools to the boards of education superintendents then to balance their budgets by eliminating the factor that would never let you do that. Mm-hmm. You know, now the process they chose to do it is one way it's described is if you're going to pull a Band-Aid, you want to pull it quick. Or do you want to do it over 3 or 4 years and feel the pain 3 or 4 years? And the philosophy is just pull the Band-Aid quick and rebuild from there.
Sure.
I'm not sure that's necessarily the right philosophy because a lot of hard feelings were created, both locally and statewide and those kind of things. But it was definitely an interesting time. And, you know, I saw the people feeling like they were devalued and it was unfortunate, but it was also 2009 and 2010 when the recession was going on, and you know, there were a lot of tough decisions that had to be made.
Yeah.
And ultimately, in the end, it comes down to me, this is good organizations, union, non-union, treat their people right.
Yep.
With pay, with benefits, with how you treat them from day to day and all those type of things. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we wanted to ensure that we repaired some of the damage that was done during that process and rebuild those relationships in that environment, and then you can move forward.
Yeah.
And in most districts, I would guess, in Wisconsin, have moved forward from the Act 10 and have figured out if I want to keep the people working here, I still got to treat them. I still got to pay. You know, in education, you're going to go from $40,000 to $70,000 over a tenure of a teacher, whether you have a union or not. You're going to still do that because if you want somebody to work for you, there's a base range in there you got to be in. So it wasn't like all of a sudden everybody said, oh, good, now we're only going to pay $30,000 to everybody. No, you're not. You know, I always tell people the way our system's set up is we underpay for the first X number of years, and then they get to the level where they probably should. If we could just start everybody out at $50,000, you wouldn't even need. You could just go buy the cost of living and those kind of things.
Right.
But we don't do that. We could never afford to do that.
Right.
And so we're stuck with kind of a system that we have, and then we got to work within that.
Sure.
And so, it was an interesting time.
Yeah.
Good learning.
I know you mentioned a couple of times just here today in our conversation, teamwork. And then you had the analogy of the sandboxes. Mm-hmm. Can you talk a little bit about North Scott School District and the teamwork that you guys have going on? And I know when I mentioned wrestling, you said, we got a great athletic department, and you just wanted to talk about all the athletics at once. And really, that sandbox. Can you talk about the sandbox that is the North Scott School District?
Yeah. One of the things that I've tried to do since I've been here is to make sure we are a North Scott School District. You know, we don't want to go back to a few years ago where we have towns fighting about closing buildings and who we're looking out for and that kind of stuff, because we're North Scott. And, you know, one of the things I talked about when we get here, we're strong as our weakest link. Mm-hmm. You know, and so all of our communities have to be strong. And that's where we can build our strength from. Administratively, you know, when you look at a district this size, you have 5 elementaries, a junior high, and a high school. You can easily have each silo. And that's, we can't operate. If you want to take North Scott to be the best district in the state, it's because we do it as a team.
Right.
We do it from our board to our administrative team. So administratively, we work very hard on team building. We work with a facilitator. We've had 3 book studies. So we continue to focus on how do we make sure that we're focused on North Scott.
Excuse me, I just want to make sure. You guys didn't drive an orange vehicle, did you?
Yeah.
Oh, the lights are on.
Oh.
Somebody drove by and said, there's a vehicle with its lights on. So.
Oh, yeah. So my car's been on for the last 20 minutes.
You never shut it off?
Well, I must have hit the remote start. I must have hit the remote start when
Oh, that's why the lights were on.
The good thing is the Prius has been running off the battery.
It ran off. It cost me 19 cents. It was on for 19 minutes, which the remote start ends at 20 if you don't have the key in it.
So it was just about ready then.
So it would have been... It would have turned off anyway. Yeah. But right now, it's nice and cool in there. It's nice and cool.
So if we hurry, you guys get back in a cool vehicle. So.
I don't remember what we were talking about before we...
We were talking about teamwork, the unity, the North Scott District as a whole.
Yeah. So, is it running again?
No, it's fine. Wait.
Are you on?
Are you recording? Oh, yeah. I thought you meant it's my car running.
No. Yeah. So, as a district administrative team, we've been working a lot on that, trying to make sure that we're all on the same page, that we have crucial conversations, we can call each other. And that,
sure.
So that process has been going very well. And I think it trickles down, too. It's because it's how we want our teacher teams.
Yep.
You'll hear professional learning communities, PLC.
Yep.
Many schools say they operate that way. Well, we don't want to just say we operate that way, that our philosophy is that we work well together as a team. And if you look at our athletics, we've had great success, had a great senior class, but boy, I tell you, I'm more impressed with the role modeling and the team playing and the things that we've done and that in those areas,
right.
Besides the success we've had, and not just athletics, whether it's our musicals or our drama
right.
department, and we want that to trickle all the way through our system.
Yeah. I was at graduation this year because Abby, my wife's little sister, was a senior. She graduated this year in this class. And there was a couple of speeches that were given, and they rattled off a whole laundry list of all the success the seniors have. Mm-hmm. And I thought they could have spent a lot of time on the basketball champion, the state mm-hmm. championship, and all the success that we've had in the other areas, soccer, girls soccer, and mm-hmm. things like that. But they listed such a wide diversity of successes from History Day to the plays they put on to the mm-hmm. choir who performed mm-hmm. at graduation. Mm-hmm. That was awesome.
Yeah.
That class, and I don't know if it's just, I've been paying more attention to that class for sure, but what a huge success. I mean, just a great way to go out there and say, look what we've done with this senior mm-hmm. class, and look what they've done, and now they're going out to tackle the world. I've seen the grade point averages on some of this class, and it's like, jeez.
Very competitive, please. Very competitive,
yeah.
Academically, athletically, co-curricular, and not just the class. I think we have the philosophy of involvement.
Yeah.
You need to be involved in something
sure.
and then strive to do better. One of the things I think they talked about at graduation, the amount of community service that they naturally do. We don't even mandate.
Right.
We're not a district that says you need to do 40 hours of
right.
community service. And I'm almost afraid if we do that, not that that wouldn't be a good thing, too, it might take away from some of the things that they take, they naturally do themselves.
Right.
The student council this year started the legacy projects. Every student council member came up with a project that they wanted to leave a legacy. So one of the things they did is the senior prom over at Grand Haven.
Mm-hmm.
And
how cool is that?
And the kids learned how to dance the old style dancing so they could dance with the residents that way. And if you think about it, those are huge things
yeah.
too.
Well, and that's what you're going to remember from your high school experience.
Yeah.
Like that you built, not only did you build that, but then that's just a experience.
Right.
That's something you're going to remember.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And we do a ton of community service. Bus drivers give gifts to senior citizens who are really shut in and alone at Christmas. Food drives, mobile food pantries,
mm-hmm.
Dance marathon. Boy, it just goes on and on. It is very impressive the amount of community caring that we have, and then we get it back in the support that we have for all of our activities. So, it's a great place to be.
It is. It really is.
So, facility wise, there's 5 elementary schools. 5, right?
Yep, 5 elementaries,
and then middle school, high school,
Junior high.
Junior high.
Yep. Just 7th and 8th for us, so it's considered a junior high.
And a majority of those buildings are under construction in some form.
They have been. We're winding down, finally. Ed White is finished up at Christmas, and we still have punch lists.
Ed White was awesome.
That takes a while, That's a great addition. You know, that building will be as big as it'll ever be now.
Sure.
I don't foresee us adding on to that one, and they'll probably in the next 3 to 5 years be maxed out.
Yeah.
Long Grove was moved into this fall, and so it was finished up last year, and so that addition is done, and that'll eventually be a 3-section building, and I would guess 3 to 5 years it'll be full.
Yeah, it'll be full.
Donahue is the next construction project out of John Glenn. We're adding a safe room. It was part of a FEMA grant for windstorms, tornadoes. And so that'll be started. In fact, our first construction meeting is next week on that.
Cool.
And so
I think that's a great idea.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we got lucky, you know, to be able to get that grant. Of course, you had to have a tornado destroy some stuff in the area before you qualify.
Which is unfortunate.
But now you wanted that building out there, though, right? So
we
when
did,
the tornado
we needed
came
two
in,
space.
Were you secretly like, yeah,
that was before I got here.
Get a couple things out there.
That was before I got here. So now I had two classrooms. And so that'll be nice space out there. There's really no major construction going on at the other two elementaries. We always have remodeling. It's a big district, so there's always a lot of upkeep going on. So after that project is complete, you know, right now we have a weight room issue at the high school because of pure capacity.
Yeah.
We need a bigger weight room for the amount of weightlifting that we have going on within our athletics. And so that's on the back burner. We need parking over at Allen Shepherd.
Yeah.
So that's a project we need to look at. We're trying to figure out how to get this field over here flattened out just so at some point if we ever do need it. So we're trying to invest over time into this area. And then we'll be looking, and you know, as a district, at what are our needs. We need to watch our enrollment growth, and so there are things there. At the same time, we don't want those issues to tear this district apart.
Right.
We are North Scott, and all of our buildings are important, and we're only as strong as all of our buildings.
Right.
And that's what's unique about North Scott.
Yeah.
You know, you get all types of living here. If you want to live in a suburban area, really, Eldridge is growing into that. You can buy a $100,000 lot and build a $400,000 home on there if you want to, right, in Eldridge. But if you want to live in a farmstead, we have that. If you want to live on the river, we have that.
Right.
You know, if you want to live in a small community, we have that.
You know
what I mean? You know, we are the makeup of everything, really, of Iowa.
Yeah.
And so that's what makes us unique, and we want to keep that uniqueness because it gives us that small-town atmosphere. Even though we're a growing district, and we want to, it just helps us. And so. Yeah.
So when they put the new addition on the high school, they couldn't find a matching brick to match the that's just a joke that Ian and I always have with each other.
I'll tell you.
Depends when they build them.
The atrium part or the front where it says North Sky High School, that looks nice.
Yeah.
That's sharp. That is really, really nice.
We had to take out a couple big trees in order to really see the front. If you notice, the big one went down, and there, now you can see where it says, North Scott Fine Arts Auditorium.
Yeah.
With that big tree sitting there,
you never saw it.
Yeah. Yeah. And so it really opens up that building, and there's still a lot of nice trees there, too. But that'll be nice to wrap up that project. So that project, I think we have occupancy of the library already. We'll probably be taking occupancy in the next week of the offices, and now we can move out of the closets that we've been in. That punch list will be going on. We still got a firewall, and that building's still got a lot of firewall stuff to work in, and not just in where we're at, but because it's a 4-acre building by code, it needs to be into 5 separate section buildings, and so there's still work to do in that building, and that'll continue going on. That building again is probably done being ever built onto.
Yeah.
It is just because you put more money into codes than you actually do into educational space.
Right.
That's the hard part is you're investing so much into sprinkler systems and compartmentalization and whatever other code they come up with between now and the time we tear into something. That one I have a hard time envisioning us really, even the weight room. Is there an area we could expand into? Yeah, but we'd probably have to put so much into code.
Right.
Probably better off building a standalone weight room than we are adding to that building. And those are the kind of things we're looking at right now is how can we expand the weight room That's the gives us the optimal space. You know, we'd love to somebody to donate $7 million and put up a field house with a nice weight room and four basketball courts and indoor track.
Yeah,
but
$7 million, huh?
Yeah, we would love to see that. We have a nice drawing and a plan for it. It's just the price tag. You know,
do you guys have the 1 cent sales tax?
We do. Yeah, I know that, the 1 cent that really helps.
So. Clinton has that, and that's been a big. Because when they first put that in, I was probably in elementary school.
Yeah.
But I remember there was a big election battle because people were arguing, not wanting it. From time to time, they have to re-up it. And my mom's like, look at what all we've gotten done because of that.
It's a wonderful thing to have in this state. Most states don't think that far ahead to say, how do we maintain our facilities on shrinking budget? So at least it takes the maintenance and the building and stuff off of the 1.25%. Most districts, you know, most states would have been 1.25, plus you're still doing your buildings under that. Mm. And so, so that's been nice.
Well, what a great problem to have. We might not have enough room for all these kids.
It's much better than the opposite.
That's what I was going to ask you. So over the course of the last few years, how's it looked for growth?
Well, if you look 20 years at North Scott, North Scott has been flat. Goes down, goes up, goes down, goes up. Now, it'll be interesting to see. We've never grown. Last year, we grew 98 point whatever kids, almost 100 kids. That's unheard of for North Scott. Now, the senior class was big, but our largest class is our kindergarten. At like 285 kids. So we'll have to see what this next one coming in is. If we could match the 270 that left with 270 coming in and just hold our own, that would be phenomenal us, because then you're going to have growth after that too. Yep. So, you know, I think, you know, we have to really watch it, but we should be primed to grow. It could be 10, 15 years, but I would say if you look at just natural sprawl, you know, at one point Bettendorf was a growing district. Then Pleasant Valley is now the growing district. Well, Pleasant Valley's hitting us, right? And at some point it's going to jump 80. Yep. That's us. And so I think, you know, whether that's 10, 15, 20 years, at some point our district will have a growth issue, which will be great.
Yeah,
you know, as the Quad City sprawls, it's going to sprawl into our area. That casino is going to force some jumping.
Yep.
You know, if Bettendorf annexes the land across, I think it's Middle Road that they have a meeting on coming up or had last week. That's our district. So when they start planning housing developments and expand Bettendorf, that's our district. So you know, so as those things start falling into place, you know, and again, it could be 10, 15, 20 years. It'll be a different board.
Right.
Could be a different superintendent. Right. But, you know, the center's growing. Eldridge, you drive around. There's houses.
Oh, I know.
There's lots for sale, and they're selling, and they're building. And you know, and that's only going to help our outlying areas, because not everybody wants to pay $100,000 for a lot.
Right.
Now, when you go buy 10 acres or whatever, you know, or find a home, you know. Yeah. So I think you'll just see it'll help our entire district.
Yeah. That's great.
Yeah.
All right, so on to our questions, I think.
Yeah.
All right. First question. What's your favorite current TV show?
Oh, current TV, Walking Dead.
Oh, nice.
I'm a big, I like those kind of movies, you know, the Mad Max, the zombie type movies, when I get a chance to watch TV. But The Walking Dead, I think they've done a phenomenal job with character development and the visualizations and to take a comic book and do what they've done.
Oh, man.
That is impressive.
Yeah, it is a neat show. And I didn't know a whole lot about it, and these guys would always, these guys, I mean, Andy and another guy in the office, they would always talk about it, and I think it was you that lent me the seasons or something like that. But anyway, I started watching them, and it didn't take long for me to be hooked, because that's the way it goes. The whole thing just leaves you wanting to see the next one, and it was nice to have the whole season in front of me. So
that's the downside to Netflix.
I've read all the comics. And I don't buy them each month, but I wait till they buy into like six of them in one volume, and they'll release that, you know, twice a year. And when I buy that, I read it cover to cover, like just straight through. Like I don't do anything else until I'm done with that.
So when is that still an ongoing comic book?
Yeah.
Oh, it is.
I
didn't know that.
And Kirkman, who writes it, he also is very active with the show.
Yeah.
He said that he does not have like a end date in mind. Oh, wow. So right now they've at least hit 150, I think. Which, if you think, if a comic comes out once a month, that's over 10 years. I think it started in like 2003. Wow. So he said that he doesn't really have like a. He knows how it's gonna end or how he wants to end it, but he doesn't know when that's gonna be.
Happen.
So he's just gonna keep writing them until. until he can't anymore.
And you guys brought up the other day that there's going to be a prequel show now.
Yeah.
Like a spin-off.
It's
a
summer. I don't know.
Yeah.
Fact,
it's like a six-episode.
Oh, it's in August.
Yeah.
Six-episode kind of deal, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
And
so
then they'll
see
what happens.
It's a different place. Whole different
it's
place.
It's in Los Angeles.
LA, yeah.
And it's... Yeah. So they said they're not going to show how the virus started, but or why it's happening. They're just going to show... In the early days of it. So basically when Rick was in a coma,
uh-huh.
This is what's happening in Los Angeles.
Oh, yeah.
So
okay.
Like right now on the show, it's been on for 6 years, so all the walkers are just all really gaunt and they easily fall apart now and because everything's just so decayed. Where this will be like, they say you might not even be able to tell who's a walker and who's a human still, because they're just really fresh in it. So.
Well, that'd be interesting, but I do. That's by far right now my favorite TV show. And then I'm always a sitcom type of guy, whether it's been Seinfeld or Cheers or Friends or any of them. Because you don't have to think when you watch those shows.
Well, you mentioned Mad Max.
Oh, yeah.
Have you seen the new
movie? I didn't
movie?
See the new one yet.
Oh, my gosh. We should stop this right now and go see that movie. That movie was awesome.
Was it?
It was
two
and a half hours, however long it was. And it was pure action all the time. And it was basically like a two-hour car chase through the desert. And that it was just pure action all the time. And when I left, I was exhausted.
Worn out.
Oh, man. And... I don't know. It was just great. So you need to check that out.
Yeah, I will.
Check
have to. Yeah.
Well, our second question: if you had to start all over again, and you were going to do your dream job, but it couldn't be the job that you have now or anything leading up to it, what would that be?
Boy, that's tough. You know, part of me is every job I've ever had. I mean, I worked at Pella Windows when I was in college. I enjoyed it. I managed an A&W restaurant at night in college. I liked that too. You know, I enjoyed coaching and teaching, you know. So, the dream job, I suppose now the dream job I would be probably full-time politics.
Yeah.
As I look at my career, I don't know if I'd have said that early on, but I do enjoy that, you know, whether that would be running at the state level or... local level is a good way to get into it, but I could have envisioned myself someday trying to get to the state level in Wisconsin.
Yeah,
but that takes a long time to build up a base like that. Mm-hmm. And so now I'm so far into my career and time, I'm not sure when that would happen in Iowa, but probably state politics, because you can impact so many more people.
Yep.
You know, and try to help, you know, make some decisions and actually get some decisions made in this day and age. That's what frustrates me, is just make a decision. Quit, you know, and hopefully use compromise. Don't you know, my way's the right way, so we don't listen to the other side. I don't like that. I think there's probably a happy medium that we have to start working towards in our country and in our state to try to get some things accomplished.
Sure.
So do you think after you retire, will be governor studying?
I don't know about that. I could see myself at some point running for the state legislature, it'd have to be post-career at some point, maybe something like that, you know.
Well, look at, like, you have, you know, just within the last 10 years, you have somebody who was state senator and ran for... state senate, or ran for the senator of the state, and now, granted, had a pretty easy pathway to become senator of the state, because when you run against Alan Keyes, you're going to become an election, you're going to get elected, but then within 6 years after that, became president of the United States, 4 years after that, became president of the United States, so they didn't even do a full term. Yeah. So, I mean, we live in a time where you could become a big position within a small period of time.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Just based on ideas and charisma and how well you can rally a base. So don't write anything out.
Nah, that's true.
Governor.
That's true.
Governor.
Yeah.
We're calling it now.
I'm gonna write this down. All right, last question. If you could meet anyone, past, present, fictional, anyone, and have a meal with them, who would you meet and what would you eat?
Mm. Oh, what would I eat too? Mm-hmm. I would probably say Abraham Lincoln. Mm-hmm. just to get his thoughts on how he was able to lead in a time of such diversity and polarization. Very similar, well, not similar, I guess, in a sense, but we're polarized right now as a country.
Yeah.
We really are. And how did you bring the, you know, bring people together? How did you make those decisions? Because he was able to do it in a time. And I think it'd be irrelevant what we ate. It would be about the conversation.
Right.
And,
right.
Because he is, you know, very unique in yeah. the time frame he was in and how he brought people together yeah. and how he used the politics to get some decisions made.
Right.
So that would be off my head. That would be the first person I'd throw out.
That was that Lincoln movie mm-hmm. came out, what?
2012.
Okay, so several years ago, 3-4 years ago. That was a unique look inside of what it could have been like.
Mm-hmm.
When they were trying to get the votes, to try to get these to get these amendments passed and all. And I don't know how, I have no idea how a human being could have gone through that.
Yeah.
I mean, it boggles my mind how he could have survived through all of that and come out victorious.
Well,
yeah.
He
still
he
got
didn't.
His agenda.
He didn't survive.
No, he didn't survive.
Yeah.
But that's what I think is interesting is it's like he knew the risks every day.
I've probably
talked about this before, but you know, there was an episode of Saturday Night Live where Louis C.K. was Lincoln doing a stand-up bit, and he was like, "I'd hate to be to have to be the person that that has to solve my murder because they'll be like, well, it could be anybody underneath this line." You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He knew that there was an inherent risk in that job, and he knew it every day that something could happen to him, and yet look at all the things that he had gotten to count.
Yeah.
So that in that movie, Lincoln, that was the 14th Amendment that mm-hmm. they were trying to pass. The 14th Amendment is what has been causing all the news the last couple of weeks. You know what I mean? Like that was so that is still truly affecting our lives every day,
right.
And that was something that they passed to make sure that humans had basic rights. You know what I mean? That every human had a basic right within this country.
That was 150 some odd years ago.
Yeah.
You know, and we're still, it's still a battle.
And that's the other thing is they always say like, you know, that was so long ago. And they say every year they add another 10 years of slavery. Or they're like, no, slavery was like 300 years ago. And they're like, no, it was 140 years ago. That's 270-year-old people. Like, so like when my grandmother was born, whoever was in their 80s, was experienced, you know, was born in the time of slavery,
right.
Like,
yeah.
You know, but our, and so with Lincoln, how his legacy has just continued to grow, and I think that the polarization of our country right now has even heightened that, where people will say, how did he do it? You know what I mean? And we've had a lot of people say Lincoln as who they want to meet, and they always say, I want to know, like, what his thoughts are on everything and how he would do all this.
Right.
So do you think that Lincoln's legacy would be the same if he would not have been assassinated?
Oh, I don't know. I think so. You know, I think when you look at him or the founding fathers, I think it goes back to what we're not doing today. There was still compromise being done.
Yeah.
He was still trying to compromise.
Yeah.
You know, his goal wasn't going to be to end slavery when he got in there.
Right.
That's just the way, you know, that was the only part of the problem. It's
yeah.
just the easiest problem to focus on.
Right.
But, you know, to think about the founding fathers and to him to lay down a foundation that we continue to build on today at a time when they didn't have half the knowledge base we had.
Yeah.
But the one thing they were doing that we don't do a good job of is compromise.
Right.
And to get other people at the table to actually listen to them, they're saying, nope, you're wrong because I'm a conservative and you're a liberal and
right.
none of your ideas can be right, so let's just, you know, agree to disagree and
right.
not even talk.
Right.
And so I think, you know, I think that's the challenge that we have is to go back to some of the things that we've done in the past to build. You know, I think I said it several times to reporters this year is Iowa really want to play the national politics because that's what we're doing? And do we want to go down that path?
Yeah.
Or do we want to compromise a little bit and look for a happy medium and
sure.
try to make some decisions that benefit the most amount of people that we can?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, good deal.
Rock and roll.
Joe, thank you very much.
Yeah, no problem.
We really appreciate your time.
Yeah, no problem.
And I know that our scout base that will be listening to this, they will appreciate the information that we shared today. So getting to know you a little bit better and getting a little bit more familiar with you. Thank you very much.
Oh, good. I appreciate it. And hopefully, you know, I know scouting builds leaders.
Yeah.
And, you know, we got to build up those bases. We need good people helping lead.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, brother.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you.